Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good Friday morning, everyone. It is a beautiful day in New York, but not a beautiful day if you're a car dealer. Detroit's problems are definitely New York's problems today. If you have the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, check out the map of Chrysler dealerships losing their franchises published in each paper. It's on page one of the Journal, or actually the better one is on page A18 of the Times, because you can really see the dots. Look at the biggest cluster of dots in the nation by far, in and around New York City. The stat is 27 out of the 93 Chrysler dealerships in New York City alone are being cut off by the company. Also hard hit are minority-owned dealerships. Earlier this week, I met Damon Lester, president of the National Association of Minority-Owned Auto Dealers, and he used a scary word. He said those dealerships are threatened with extinction. He couldn't come on this morning. We will talk to him more about that next week. But right now, Mark Scheinberg, president of the New York Area Car Dealers Association, and Wall Street Journal reporter Jeff Bennett, and by the way, the GM announcement is expected in about an hour for its next big wave of car dealership cutoffs. So, Mark Scheinberg, welcome back. And Jeff Bennett, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Mark, nationally, Chrysler is ending its contracts with a quarter of its dealerships. The New York City figure, 27 out of 93, is 29%. Why would New York be hit especially hard by this?
Well, a lot of it is that New York is an older market, and over the years there's been more deals, especially when Chrysler had a bigger market share that's on it. In Long Island alone, we were about also 25-26% of the dealers were listed as losing their franchises. So New York is a little bit of a more mature market area, but it's also a bigger market area for vehicle sales for Chrysler, too.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Bennett from the Journal, you want to reflect on the New York area stats? This just seems like the city and the whole area is getting very, very hard hit by this.
Yeah, it's quite true that they are really targeting more of those metropolitan areas, mostly because those dealerships are competing so hard against one another. So I think they're trying to pull out those where the territories are just too tight. And for a lot of that, Chrysler also has a lot of dealerships that are in cities, and a lot of people have already moved into suburbs and are shopping out there. So it does make those dealers that remain much more competitive and harder to keep their sales up.
I don't know if anybody happens to be listening right now who works for or maybe even owns a car dealership in the New York City area. Doesn't have to be Chrysler or General Motors, but if you do, call up 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and talk about if Chrysler's cutting you off, if you expect General Motors to cut you off later today, the ripple effects for the economy in New York. Love to hear from car dealers or anyone else on the local impact of Chrysler closing so many dealerships in the New York area and General Motors about to do the same, apparently. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Anyone may call or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What are the implications for the city, Jeff Bennett from the Wall Street Journal, and the area, beyond the dealers themselves? Is there an economic ripple effect?
Yes, definitely. You know, the hallmark of a lot of dealers is to play a very important role in local events, charities, softball teams. I know that that's been said before, but you kind of forget how much these guys really do push throughout their areas that they are serving. You know, anything from car washes to even donating money and cars to events, that all goes away, and the employees that they have there. And then on addition to that, if they have to move out or close their dealer, now you have a blighted parking lot that's now just sitting on your once, you know, thriving city corner.
Mark Scheinberg from the New York Area Car Dealers Association, do you think this is wrong that so many New York dealers are getting cut off? Do you think it's unfair?
Well, it is a forced closing. And one thing, you know, I may sort of correct a little bit. It's not just Chrysler that's saying that we're closing dealerships. It's the Presidential Automotive Task Force. in the bankruptcy proceeding with Chrysler presently, and most believe that it will be with GM shortly, where the presidential task force is saying to Chrysler, you need to reduce the number of dealers that's on there. And so you've got government stepping in and actually forcing the businesses who are, in many cases, viable business. They must be, because they're, for the most part, they're in business, they're hiring personnel, they're paying taxes on it, and basically saying that we don't want you in business anymore. We have a dealer that's on Long Island who's been in business for 50 years as a Jeep dealer, who's actually had an increase in revenue of $300,000, employs more than 50 people in that dealership. There's no business reason that dealership should be closed down at all. But that's the tactic that's being taken, and that's where it's a forced closure.
Here's Paul in the Bronx, who used to be with a business that could be directly affected. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Where did you work?
I used to work for an auto alarm installer. Our job was to install new alarms in new cars, telephones, all sorts of auto accessories. So it's going to affect businesses like that. A lot of dealerships use vendors to install their aftermarket products, as well as body shops to fix customers' cars. So it's going to put a lot of other businesses out of work besides the employees that actually work for the dealer.
Paul, why would that be the case? If presumably people are going to buy the same number of cars that they bought in the past, then why wouldn't something like an auto alarm installer have the same amount of business regardless of the number of dealerships?
Dealers who, companies that rely on particular specific dealers as their main account, if these companies lose the dealers as their main account, then they're going to have to lay off employees.
Right. Paul, thank you very much for your call. So, Jeff Bennett from the Wall Street Journal, how does Chrysler actually benefit from making its cars less available, sold in fewer places? The dealers being cut off nationally represent about 18% of their sales, according to the stat I read. Why does Chrysler do better as a result of that?
Well, the theory is that if you get rid of some of the dealers and really focus on those that are most profitable and open up their territories even more, then you're going to push more, profit through those dealers, and those dealers will be able to sell their cars rather than having to, price them down or undercut their own dealers in their own markets. So basically, it really adopts a position that is closer to the foreign automakers, which have tight control over their dealer networks. They keep them small. They give them large territories so that one dealer then really services and is able to, keep the value up on the cars and keep the business under control.
But
Brian,
do you dispute that, Mark?
Yeah, there's a couple of things on it. First of all, General Motors tried to do that with Saturn when they started Saturn. They gave the dealers very large territories to work with so that they wouldn't be over-dealered on it. And that's now been a line that looks like it's either going to be sold or shut down because their sales are so poor. The other part of it is when you're taking a look at the import, Toyota, Honda specifically, listen, they're doing well not because there's less dealers that's on there. Is because they made really good product for so many years that consumers decided that they wanted to buy them more than GM and Chrysler. And not that GM and Chrysler don't have good product anymore. They really have very, very good product right now. But they lost such a huge consumer base because the product. It is about the product. It's not about the number of deals. The dealers do not cost the manufacturers anything at all. As a matter of fact, we're 90% of their revenue. We buy cars, we buy parts from the manufacturers, we even buy the signs that are in front in the dealership. We are not a cost, we are actually a revenue producer for the manufacturers.
But is that just spin, Jeff Bennett from the Wall Street Journal? Because obviously Chrysler must think that they're a cost.
No, I think it's a good point, but however, you do have those markets, especially those metropolitan markets, where you have dealers competing against each other. And if one guy is offering a Chrysler minivan at $30,000 and the other guy down the street will give it to you for $20,000 just to sell the car, then there is a problem there. So I understand that, getting more product out is good. However, that you do have this undercutting going on that really doesn't, I guess, help Chrysler in the end because it just cuts on the price of the car.
Richie, go ahead, Mark. You want to come back on that one?
I just I don't quite agree because the dealer buys the cars from the manufacturer and they buy it for the same price no matter where they're located. It's the consumer that benefits from that kind of competition that's out there that allows them to be able to find the best price. Less dealers, less competition, more cost for consumers.
Richie in Point Pleasant worked for a Chrysler dealer for 12 years that just shut down. Hi, Richie. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I just want to give a little bit of my background. It was a very small dealership. We had only 3 salesmen. I was one of the top salesmen in the country in the 10%. But I'd like to talk about the impact of my customers. I kept in contact with everybody, birthday cards, thank you cards, articles from the New York Times, the pilots, the veterinarians were my customers. But there's been a tremendous, my customers have been calling me since everyone had my home phone, since I wanted any problems to come to me firsthand. But a lot of the seniors whose cars I picked up and brought back to them, people in their 70s, even 80s, are right now absolutely destitute. They don't know where to bring their cars. I mean, we were a small point. But we were a 5-star dealer. We had an excellent service facility. We were there 55 years. People bought mainly cars for me because they trusted me and knew me. They knew I'd be there for them. They knew they had my home phone.
Richie, your dealership shut.
My phone's been ringing off the hook.
Do I understand?
People, they don't know where to go.
Richie, do I understand correctly that your dealership shut down last month?
It shut down on April 12th.
How come?
I don't know. There have been 2 conflicting reports, one that Chrysler shut us down, one that the owner threw in the towel.
Right.
But the dealership was there 55 years.
And what do you think about the back and forth that the two guests were just having over why Chrysler either would benefit or would not benefit from cutting off so many dealers now?
I think that they had to look at the absolute numbers. So first of all, what dealers were cooperating, what dealers made them profitable also, certain what dealers were ordering correctly. But they also had to look at the fact that a lot of it is customer confidence. I mean, years ago, and I've been in this business since I was a kid, and I'm 68, Fiat sold a tremendous amount of cars years ago, even more than Volkswagen, when Volkswagen was in their heyday. But what closed Fiat down in the United States was a poor labor, poor service, and poor parts network. It wasn't the fact that they weren't doing the numbers. If you have a product that you can't service, for instance, would you buy a Rolex if you couldn't service it?
Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to buy a Chrysler or a Dodge unless they can find convenient service, and that's going to hurt them.
Richie, you really sent your customers birthday cards?
I worked on a 3x5 system. I started, not only I sent birthday cards, I sent 1,500 Christmas cards a year, all handwritten, no computer. I used 3x5 cards alphabetically. And I used to start my Christmas cards in June. And they were all handwritten. And I knew them all. I mean, one of my customers, I'm going to mention his name, he's a wonderful man, Frank Shanley, chief pilot for Continental. He's driving 3 of my cars. He's been my customer for 10 or 11 years. In fact, even though there's no dealer service now, I'm picking his car up on Sunday night and bringing it in for service on Monday to another dealer. Just out of respect.
Richie, I got to leave it there, but thank you very much for calling.
Thank you so much. I love your show. I listen to it all the time.
Thanks a lot, and you obviously care about what you do. And Mark Scheinberg from the New York Association of New York Area Car Dealers Association, I guess Richie speaks for a lot of your members and says it better than a lot of them could.
Yeah, these are real community businesses, and they service their communities in a long time. They are the thing that they've been doing for years is to be able to sell and take care of their customers, and it's not an easy business. But for the presidential task force to say what community businesses should stay in business and what should not makes no sense. The market will drive. This dealer may have closed down because maybe Chrysler sales just dropped off so much that they couldn't pay the bills anymore. It didn't make sense as a viable business. That's what the free enterprise system does. That's what the market controls. The idea that we're coming from the outside, here's one other point that's coming out of the task force, is they're telling Chrysler now that they're spending too much money on advertising. Chrysler says they were going to spend $129 million on marketing and advertising of their products throughout the country. They told them they need to cut it in half. How is the government getting involved in making a decision on how much money it should spend to market their own products is beyond me. From a you know, from an industry, from you know, from an administration, from we just got out of presidential elections, we had record amounts of money being spent. This administration actually decided not to take public funding, so they can spend as much money as they feel that they can raise,
which was
to be
mostly
able to get their,
mostly on advertising. So Jeff Bennett from the Wall Street Journal, can you confirm that? Do you know for a fact that the Obama administration or this automotive task force has ordered Chrysler to stop advertising so much?
They did, or they did weigh in on how much they could spend on advertising, yes. So they are playing a big role in how the company should restructure. And, you know, they are the ones that helped them into bankruptcy as well. So, yes, they have. Mark is right.
Do you know if they crunched the numbers differently, if they actually looked at the bottom line and said, well, X dollars of advertising produces more profits, but Y dollars of advertising produces less profits? Is the government into it at that level?
I don't think they're that deep. I think they're just looking at it overall, on the overall picture of Chrysler, the company's health, and making determinations on that,
short-term
whether they're right or wrong.
Short-term expenses. Sherry in Brooklyn has a question that a lot of listeners are probably wondering about, kind of following up on something Richie said. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Your question is?
My question is, how do the car manufacturers expect to sell vehicles if they don't have dealerships around where people can buy them?
Don't they sell cars on Amazon now? Oh, maybe not yet.
I wouldn't buy a car on Amazon. I like to go look at a car, and I like, as the earlier caller said, I like a salesperson that I can trust. And I actually bought my last two vehicles. I have GM, but I bought my last two vehicles from a dealership that recently closed down, and I use the same sales guy, and he knows me, and I go back to them for service,
and they're gone. And presumably you're going to go to the next closest dealership, because if 27 out of 93 Chrysler dealerships in New York City are closing, that still leaves most of them open. But again, Jeff Bennett from the Wall Street Journal, she brings up where you go to buy your next car. Richie, the former car salesman, was talking about where people go to get service if their dealership closes down. This is going to be an issue for people.
Yeah, it's not an easy answer, but Chrysler is hoping that they will go to the next dealer in their area, which could be closer, which could be further away. You know, even with these cuts, you still have to remember that Chrysler will still have about 1,000 more dealers in its network than Toyota does. So that's pretty big.
Still a lot more dealers than Toyota. So Mark Scheinberg from the New York Area Car Dealers Association, we're going to talk next week with Damon Lester from the Association of Minority Automotive Dealers, but he talked to me the other day about minority dealers being on the verge of extinction. They've already gone from about 2,100 nationally to about 1,200 nationally, he said. Probably going to get disproportionately socked by this because minority-owned dealerships tend to be newer and there's a last-in, first-out pecking order to some degree. Also, they tend to be in lower-income areas, so their businesses are on more thin ice in general. Do you have any stats about how hard minority-owned dealerships are being hit by this Chrysler announcement in the New York area?
I don't have any specific numbers on it. We work very closely with Minority Auto Dealers Association on it, and I agree with the statement. I think they're newer dealerships, the minority-owned dealerships. There was a big push for quite a number of years to make the industry more diversified. I mean, lots of times dealerships are passed down from one family member to another family member. They've been around for a long time, and this was an attempt to try to make it more diversified, which was a good program. The problem sometimes is that they're less capitalized, well capitalized, because they are newer, because they haven't been able to be in business as long as they have. So they are going to get hurt disproportionately as these facilities start to close.
And we're almost out of time, but Mark, the Times says GM may face more resistance from its dealers than Chrysler after the GM dealership cut numbers come out later today. Why would they be different?
Well, first of all, what GM is basically doing right now is they're naming the dealers that are going to be shut down before they're going into a bankruptcy proceeding. So there's more legal abilities for challenges that a dealer can do as long as the manufacturer is not in bankruptcy court. But there is a strong belief that very shortly that GM might file for bankruptcy, and then it goes into the same situation as Chrysler's in right now.
And Jeff Bennett from the Journal, last word. When these GM numbers are released momentarily, really, do you expect New York to be as hard hit as it was by Chrysler?
I do. I think, again, the urban areas, the cities will all get hit hard. I think the entire country will get hit hard. Remember, GM is going to release 1,100 letters this wave, and there's probably a second wave, and there's still scuttlebutt that maybe Chrysler may even have to cut deeper into its network. We still don't know yet.
Jeff Bennett has the front page article on the Chrysler cuts in the Wall Street Journal today. Mark Scheinberg is the president of the New York Area Car Dealers Association. Thank you both very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. What is too big to fail? Should anything be declared too big to fail? We'll replay a cut for a follow-up Friday segment of Citigroup Chairman Richard Parsons on this show this week, saying, yeah, too big to fail is okay. Stay with us.